I want that. I need you to call me that. I want that. How true. How true. Helping hands in motion. You know, and how we got our name, the organization got started, I had a friend of mine walk our paperwork through the government so that it could make sure it gets done. And then when it got to the section for the name of it, we started out with Helping Hands. And he got to that point, they said, Helping Hands has already been taken. You've got to come up with another name. He goes, Richard, I stuck. I didn't know what to do. Then I got thinking about you. He says, you never sit still. You're always moving. So it's going to be in motion. And so he put Helping Hands in motion, and that's how we got our name. So what I love about it, it's a Southern way to say him. You know, got two H's, him. You know, so we're helping him. Yeah. So, but it's great to be here, guys. Oh, you guys are wonderful. Just thank you for that check. Pastor Dan and I were talking about how we would do that. You know, I was thinking, wow, if they buy those 34 pairs of shoes, I'm going to have to bring a huge suitcase and get them in and get them back home. But so now there's a lady in Florida that helps our ministry, and I was talking to her the other day, and she's getting online, and she's ordering the shoes. I told her I'm not being here this week, and so the shoes would be ordered, and then we've got to put everything in boxes. We've got school supplies, we've got shoes, and we got some food, and we have some clothing and some medical needs that we're sending down to her. So we'll get all that boxed up, we'll get it down to her. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you for that effort of giving us those funds so that we can make it possible for them to have new shoes. Now, and Bill, you're the only one that's been there here in the congregation this morning, all right, from Haiti. Now, thank you. The roads are rough. The kids walk to school. They walk everywhere. And so shoes don't last a long time. We have to buy tennis shoes and usually dress shoes a couple times a year for them because they can go through them. I was telling Bill and I were talking about it, we bought backpacks for the kids. And usually we go to Walmart or somewhere to buy the backpacks and just get backpacks. So this year, but they would fall apart. And we'd go to 2 to 3 backpacks a year for the kids because how they got all of these massive books they're carrying, all these supplies back and forth to school. Hey, in school, and for some of them, school was, you know, a quarter to half a mile away. The high school is like 3.5 miles away. They walk to all of them, guys. And the roads aren't paved, the roads are rough, and it's cut out of the mountains. There's rocks everywhere, and so shoes don't last very long, so we just thank you. But anyway, on the backpacks, we said we're going to try something different this year. So we splurged a little bit, and hope you don't think it's terrible for us, but we went to L.L. Bean, and we got backpacks from L.L. Bean because supposedly they're better. We're going to test them out. I'm going to call L.L. Bean and say, hey, they're pretty good, or we'll say, hey, maybe you'll need to change some of your advertising because they're, I'll tell them to Haiti, and they didn't last as good. So, but we're trying them. We're going to try L.L. Beans this year to see if they'll last. One backpack will last the whole school year. So we're trying that out. But Pastor Dan, he alluded to things in Haiti. It is kind of rough over there. I can't say a whole lot. Pastor Dan, you've got the email that I sent you. And if anybody wants to kind of read an email that Tanya had wrote a letter in and stuff, you can get that from him, and you can take it and read it and stuff. But things are really difficult over there. It's really challenging. I ask you to pray for the kids and the orphanage and everyone, because it's been 2.5 years since we've had a team down there. And Bill can tell you, the kids love teams because they spend time with you. You spend time with them. You know, we go down and we're going to have a project, and the project may be painting, may be building or whatever, but you'll get there and you're saying, oh, Richard, oh, I'm excited. I'm ready to paint. I'm ready to build. And I go, okay, I don't want to bust your bubble or nothing, but the most important thing for you while you're here is spend time with these kids and with the staff. They need encouragement. I don't care if you don't pick one paintbrush up. What I care about is that you spend time with these kids. And so the kids get encouraged, and they haven't had that for 2.5 years. And so I ask you to pray for them. And with all the turmoil there, it's frightening for them. So just pray for that. And if you want to know a little bit more details, I've got it in an email. I sent it to Pastor Dan, and he can email it to you, and then you can have it. So, but don't put it on the internet. We found out, because what's happening in Haiti, we have had to limit our email information that we're putting out because of several things. And it's in that message that Pastor Dan has. Helping hands in motion. When we got started, you started. I was school not long, and I was 37 years old when I got saved, and I went back to school and everything. But still, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then He led me into this ministry, and then we had to start building this ministry. And for me, one of the first things to do was to put the spiritual formation to it. And Lord, what scripture are you leading me to be the basis for our ministry? And He led me to one. I'm not going to show it to you right now. I'm getting ready to show it to you, but right now I want to show it to you. We'll talk about it. But what I want you to think about is how we are to help people, and how we are to help reach our country, America. America definitely needs us to reach people for Jesus Christ, and we need to be reaching people for Christ in other parts of the world. And so we need to work together with that. And so, in Haiti, a little bit about Tanya. Tanya's been here. I don't know if anybody remembers when Tanya was, okay, we've got a few that remembers when Tanya was here. Tanya's been in this church, one of the few that she's been to. And so, but Tanya, she grew up in the orphanage. She was one of the first kids in the orphanage. Phil and Lonnie Murphy, some of you guys may have also met Phil and Lonnie. They were the missionaries, that ran the orphanage, got started and ran it and everything. Phil and Lonnie served there for 21 years. And then they felt that God was moving them from that position to another. And then, so who would take care of the orphanage? And Tanya stepped up and said, I will take care of the orphanage. I'll be the director of the orphanage. She's raised in it. Now she's the director of it. And she oversees it. She's married, has three children of her own. And it's just wonderful to watch her. She's got a testimony that it is crazy. It just it blew me away. I mean, I can't get into a lot of details of it, but she is a child. She fell in a river and was underwater, and they had to recuperate her, bring her back. And then her mom said, hey, I don't want you to be out here in this area because God's got His hand on you. He's got something great to do with you, and I don't want you to maybe get killed out here or die out here. And so she put her in the orphanage, and now Tommy grew up in the orphanage. Now she's the director of the orphanage. It's just awesome. And so as the kids grow up, we tell them, hey, we want you to think about how you will impact Haiti. For a kid, it's kind of hard. And they go, what do you mean, me impact Haiti, Richard? You're the one who comes. You're the one who brings the teams. You're the one who goes to America and raises funds for us. How are we going to change that? I said, hey, you just explained everything. I said, I'm there to get support to help you. I will never change Haiti. If I could take all of y'all down there and we all would live down there for a while, we would never change Haiti. I said, what will change Haiti, guys? I'm talking to the kids. I say, you guys will change Haiti. You will impact Haiti and change Haiti. How you will change Haiti is you'll get to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You'll accept Him and live for Him. You'll get a good education. And then you need to stay in Haiti. And you need to get in. You need to get in politics. You need to get in government. You need to have a good job. You need to get an education so that your Christian impact will impact Haiti. That's what will change Haiti. And they just don't understand it. But as they grow, they start getting a better concept of it. And so that is what you guys are helping us do. You're helping us get those kids get an education so that they can be raised up in a Christian environment, and so they can get this education, and then they can stay in Haiti and impact Haiti and change it for the good. So back to what I was starting to talk to you about. You can pop that next slide up if you want to. When I started putting the ministry together, the brain asked the Lord, okay, Lord, what's the foundation? What would be our spiritual base for this ministry? And I just prayed about it. He led me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And it says, let us consider how we will spur one another to love and good deeds. You know, that's a great sermon. It's a great verse. It's an awesome verse. It's coming out of Hebrews, and I'll talk more about that in a little while. But like I told you, I'm from the South. And I read that verse, and I kind of got stuck. Kind of got stuck, guys. And I said, Lord, you're leading me to this verse, okay? And I got stuck on one of the words, and it says, let us consider how we may spur. Okay, Lord, okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me now here, and I'm sorry, but it's okay. You know, when I think of spur, what do you think about when you think of spur, you know? Some of you are very highly educated, and you think of spur a different way, but for me, hit that next slide. I think about these. Those are painful, guys. Have you ever had a spur in your foot? Those are painful. Yeah, spurs on your bone, man. That came to my mind. But see, I grew up in a home, and you know, most of y'all remember when we got TV, black and white, and there wasn't a lot on the TV. But what there was Cowboys. My dad loved to watch Cowboys. And his favorite movie was, of course, with John Wayne in those Cowboys. So we watched a lot of Cowboys. And so the next slide is what I really thought about when I thought about Spurs, okay? And I really thought about this one because the Cowboys, and they wanted that horse to go, they would kick those spurs in against the side of that horse. And before that horse could go on that horse, then you better be ready to go. If you kick those spurs in hard, he is going to take off, she's going to take off, and you're going to get moving. So I started thinking about that, and I said, oh, Lord, come on now. I wouldn't think you leading me to something like that. So in my thinking, I wasn't thinking what all spurred in. Go ahead to the next slide. And so I started thinking and reading more about that verse. Let us consider how we will spur one another on to loving good deeds. And so I started looking at it. Let us consider, let us think. Let us really think hard about what? About how we're going to spur. But spur is not what I was thinking, so let's spur up. And you can see that spur is encouraging. It is uplifting. It is stimulating. And they even have the idea of a catalyst there. So how can I encourage? How can I stimulate? How can I be a catalyst for your love and good deeds? And his love, of course, he's talking about agape love, and that is, gosh, the ultimate of all love. When we agape love, we think about Christ giving his life for us, dying on the cross for us, and then going to a tomb and rising from the dead and coming back so that we can have life in heaven and love. And he wants us to have a love like that for others. And good deeds is some of our works that we need. You know, COVID's been really hard. And all of y'all know it, you know. And around the country where we work, it's not any different. And it's been really hard. And I'll be sharing some stories about that. And in Haiti, it was no different. And if I remember talking to Bill correctly, you know, when COVID hit you guys, church services had to stop. You know, so we started doing videos, and that was working in America and a lot of the churches, and it's really awesome now because there's more probably places on the internet that we can find a church service now than ever before. And guys, that's really a good thing because, I don't know, you've probably looked who else watching y'all. They're watching from around the world, around America, all over the places, catching church services. And the gospel is going out like it's never went out before because of that. So look at that as a good thing. But in Haiti, you know, we don't have the opportunity of videos and putting it on TV and everything. So the church was canceled over there too. We couldn't have church over there. And so Frankie is Tanya's husband. And Frankie has went to school to be a pastor. And he he preaches and goes around and helps different churches, but he's also an entrepreneur where he has a business where he helps provide his family, and he helps take care of the orphanage. Just a marvelous man. If you come over and meet him, you just love the guy. He's a great guy. But what he said, okay, he went to the orphanage and talked to Tanya and said, hey, we can't go to church, so why don't we just have our little church service in the orphanage? We'll stay in the orphanage, we'll go upstairs where the dining room is at, and we'll have our own church service there. So that's what they decided to do. So they started having their church services in there. And Frankie started teaching the kids. Taking time with the kids, you know. And so he slowed everything down. And said, get this, guys. The kids go to Sunday school. Bill can tell you. The kids get up on Sunday mornings, and they're out the door by 8:30 heading to church so they can hit Sunday school and be in Sunday school. And they don't come home till 1 o'clock. You know, they have been in church at all times. And they've been in Sunday school classes. They've been in the main church service. And they've been in other things, subjected to the message and to the Bible and the teaching of the Bible. It's just that they're subjected to it all. Okay. And then Frankie started teaching them, and he started talking to them about being a child of God, giving your life to Jesus Christ. And he found out these kids that had been subjected and been in church, that there were several of them that had not given their life to Jesus Christ. And he started talking to them about giving their life to Jesus Christ, and five of them gave their life to Jesus Christ. COVID was terrible. It's been terrible. It's been hard. But right there was a great way, one way, that we can see that it brought five young children to Jesus Christ. If COVID would have made it for just one person, let's say, that's awesome. But five there. And there's one story of thousands out there where during COVID, people have come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You know, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is an awesome book, you know. You need to, when you have some time, read it. And you're going to start reading it, and some of you who know the Bible, you're going to say, well, Richard, who's the author? And I'm going to tell you what all the other Bible scholars know that knows much more than I do. They say, we don't know who the exact author is. And so, but Hebrews is a great book to read and study. It will help you understand your walk better with the Lord. It will give you some foundations. It will give you some ideas how to pursue the Lord and how to take the message, the gospel message, and share it with people. It's just a fabulous book. It's marvelously put together by the author. And so that it's just wonderful. But the first part of it, from chapter 1 to around to chapter 10, verse 18, he takes the first most part of the Bible. I mean, of that book. And he talks about the superiority of Jesus. And you go, what do you mean? This is the Bible. He said, see, but what was happening is, converted Jews were having some challenges and were having some difficulties. And you know, some of them had seen Jesus, but not all of them. They had heard about Jesus. Then Paul's teachings and other teachings that they had heard about Jesus returning, they would, okay, when's he returning? You know, we're even asking that today. When's he going to return? You know, okay, I'm ready for today. Yeah, but anyway, we're asking those things. And they were asking him, and they were confused about the teachings. And so, and these were converted Jews, and they knew most about the Old Testament. They knew a lot about the history, you know? And so they were struggling with their faith. You know, we struggle sometimes with our faith, right? Because of what we're going through, the challenges and everything. We struggle with our faith. They were struggling with it. And so this writer, he started talking to them. And then in the first 9.5 chapters in Hebrews, he talks about the superiority of Jesus. And he's doing it to let them know Jesus, God, is superior to everything else. And so, hit the next slide. I meant to hit that one when we was talking about Frankie Pine. That's a kid's. I meant to hit that one earlier, but go ahead to the next one. See, he starts talking. He says, you know, that in that time they thought a lot about the angels and stuff. And so he said, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. And this is Hebrews 1 through 3. And that he is the exact representation of the being, suffering, and thing. Well, I shouldn't have read that verse. Let's do it this way. But brought this up here, right? Get my Bible out, and that's why I brought it up. Okay. And it's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that we read this. This verse about what the author was giving this for us to look at. He said, verse 3 says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty. The converted Jews were having problems. With Jesus, what is it? And so the writer was saying, hey, he's greater than any angel or anything else, and now he is sitting down at the right hand of God. So he was trying to push that forward so they could catch it. Go ahead and do the next scripture. And that one's verse 1 through 3. That's the one I just read. Thrown off there a little bit. But so he became a much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. See, he was more superior than the angels. See, they thought the angels were greater, and so they were following the angels and stuff. And now Jesus has come, and they're following Jesus, and they were a little confused. And so this author started telling them that. And these first chapters are talking about that. I can't get into great detail about that. But go ahead to the next scripture. And I just want to bounce through these kind of quick. And then Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, it says this. It says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying that would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to the courage and the hope of which we boast. See, they were thinking so much of Moses. They thought Moses was the great, one of the greats. So we should follow Moses. But Jesus is greater. So the author is telling them, no, don't follow those things. Don't follow Moses. Jesus Christ is the other. Then I think I've got one more here. And I'll read this one with you. And it's in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And it said, therefore, since we have a high great priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, these things, these verses, and this author, he is trying to tell us that Christ is superior, and we need to follow him. And the converted Jews were having a problem with it because of what they had, their history. How do we move forward? And you say, Richard, what's that have to do with what we're talking about this morning? And what's that have to do with the countries you're working in? I've got a couple slides here. If you can read that on Haiti, if you can read the information on the side, kind of drop down to the last one. You can read all of them. But voodoo dominates their society still today. And so when we're in Haiti and we have a training session, I think there's a slide that's kind of, we're in Haiti, we have a training session. One of the most important things the pastors would tell us, tell them that Christ is stronger than voodoo. That Christ is stronger than voodoo. And for someone who has lived under the rule of voodoo for their whole life, and then when they give their life to Jesus Christ, It takes some training and some discipleship and some time for that to give to, for them to understand that. See, the witch doctor is still living in the village. And he'll, when you get saved, if you live in a village, he may hear that you gave your life to Christ. He still may come to your house and say, hey, you still you got to give me, you got to worship me, you got to come to me, you got to give me this, you got to do this for me. And they're afraid of the witch doctor. It's run by fear. And they're afraid that if they don't do something that the witch doctor has asked them to do, then sickness or pain or troubles will come upon their life. So they still follow that. So it takes teaching in Haiti that Christ is superior over voodoo. And that and it's a discipleship progress. And it takes sometimes, it takes years. Our pastor's worked on this for years. And the next video is in Asia. And then kind of look at the information on that one. And about halfway down, you can see where I've got in there. Over 3 million gods and goddesses are in that part of the world. 3 million gods and goddesses. You know, when we go to them and talk to them about Jesus Christ, 3 million in one. What's the big deal? They know why I want to. And then it starts discipleship. It starts training. And start telling them why Christ is greater. And you need to follow him so that he can lead and guide and direct your life. And it takes years for that, guys, for them to understand that their families for decades have followed a god or a goddess. And then there again, the goddesses over there, gods, some of them are run by fear. You know, one of the greatest gods in India is called Kali. And Kali, at her feet, she's got these skulls. And she says, if you do not follow me, your head is going to be in my foot. And so it's run by fear. And you go, Richard, we're not in Haiti, we're not in Asia. How's this relate? How's this relate at all to us? In America. You ever think about us and our commitment to Christ and when we gave our life to Jesus Christ and what we needed to give up and what we needed to dedicate to Christ so that we can be the followers he's called us to be. See, he called us to go and make disciples. And he didn't say, all of us are going to go to India. No, he said, we're going to make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the world. That means right here. I'm in some of the uttermost parts of the world, but you're right here. And God needs you to be a light in an area where there's darkness. But Richard, what's this about gods and goddesses and voodoo and all that? I said, think about America, guys. Think about us in America. We are very blessed. We are very blessed. Even during COVID, in Harvard, we're very blessed. Think about it. The homes that we live in, the cars that we have, food that we can some of us might not think we have clean air. I'd like to take you to some of the places I go, and there's not clean air there, okay? But, you know, we are so blessed in so many ways. But the trouble is, lots of times before we get saved, and even after we get saved, we turn some of these things into almost like gods and goddesses. We almost worship those houses or that car or a spouse or something more than Jesus Christ. And he's asked us. It's a command. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we need to give those things up and follow him. He needs to take, like one of those songs we sang, I'm sure you sang there, Jesus, take the first place in my heart. He needs to have first place. You know? And for me, I've got the three M's. I've got the three M's for how I kind of live my life. Master, mate, mission. Okay. Jesus Christ is that's master. I follow my master. I want him to lead, guide, and direct me. I want to be the person he wants me to be. Mate would be my spouse, would be my family. They are next. They're underneath Christ. And even see Christ is before them. If my wife and my children want me to love them more, Christ needs to be on top. And I need to be serving him. Because if I'm serving him and being the man that he wants me to be, I'm going to love my family more. And they're going to experience it and they're going to see it. You know, and then number three would be mission. What's my mission? God's called me to be a missionary working in Haiti and working in Asia, that part of the world. Yours is something else. Your mission may be right in your house. Your mission may be right where you work, right in your community. And what you've got to do is say, okay, Lord, how do I serve you? How do I take the light? How do I take what your word says to me and take it to the people here that you called into my mission? And that's what we're supposed to do. Follow that. America, you know, we don't have, we don't have a little statue sitting here and says this is our God's. No. But we've got things sitting around in our homes and in our homes themselves and other things that they are almost like gods or goddesses. So we have got to be careful and not make them a god or goddess. And we need to make Jesus Christ number one in our life. You know, go ahead to the next slide. And so there's several things that this leads into. And and so this leads into several things and several aspects of our life. And so we need to be going and making disciples. And you go, Richard, I'm just me. You know, if we would look through Hebrews, and I told you, I'm going to take you real quick two things in the first 9.5 chapters. It talks about the superiority of Christ. And then, if you would look past, then you start looking past that, you'll find out that we need to follow Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, and that we need to give our life completely to Him. We need to be followers of Jesus Christ. We need to take the scripture that I started this with. Let us consider how we can encourage. How we can stimulate others to love and good deeds. And it takes us all to do that, guys. It takes us, every one of us, to follow that. And then after that, you know, after that scripture, 10:24, and then if you go to 10:25, it says we need to gather together. Don't stop gathering together. We need to gather together. You know, yesterday, there was a few of us met at Roger's house and had some coffee and just sat around in fellowship. That, to me, was great. Just some friends just getting together and just fellowshipping. We're not supposed to stop that. COVID kind of put a damper on some of it. Church, we're not, you know, if we're not careful, we can, you know, we can just sit home and watch everything on TV and watch it on the internet and everything. What He wants us to do is gather together, because when we come together, we'll be able to encourage each other. We'll be able to spur each other on so that we will be able to take the love of Christ and do good works and good deeds that He's called us to. That scripture right there in Acts 4:13 is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. That's a kind of weird scripture, how it is. But it speaks to me in volumes. It speaks to me in volumes. Because I grew up in West Virginia. I was a diesel mechanic. I was in the Army and I worked on tanks and stuff. So got out and worked on trucks and stuff. I was just an ordinary guy. And this scripture just speaks volumes to you, because it says that Peter and John, you know, these smart individuals of the world at that time, the highly educated men of the world at that time, was looking at Peter and John and they said, hey, these are just ordinary men. But like what I got highlighted at the end, the difference is that they recognized that they had. That's us, guys. The different world's out there, and the world needs to see us. And you're going, Richard, I'm just a school teacher. Richard, I just work at a store. Richard, I'm retired. I stay at home. I'm just an ordinary guy. Yeah. Ordinary people changes the world. You know, that's why we have, in Hebrews, we have Hebrews chapter 11. talks about superiority of Christ and superiority of faith, and then he gives us Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. You know, and he gives all of these names. And if you look, there's not a lot of mention of what they did. There's mention there of what they did, but the big thing is their faith. They were recognized because of their faith. And they took that faith and did what Christ had called them to do. That's just like you and me. I'm from West Virginia. When God called me to Haiti, I said, come on, Lord. You know, I can't even speak English well. You want me to go to Haiti? And then he said, yeah, Richard, we'll go to Haiti. He said, okay. And then it was about 7 years later when we went to Asia. And he said, okay, Richard. And I said, come on, God, you stretched me enough. Haiti was enough. He said, no, we'll start working over here. And so I said, wow, I don't know. You know, like I said, English is hard. And I said, don't know Creole. And now you're bringing me to another country that they have several languages. And how in the world? He said, don't worry about it. You're going to work with indigenous people. So, see, we get worried and hung up on the details. He just wants us to have faith, trust in him, think what he wants us to do, encourage ourselves and others, and go about doing what he wants us to do. It's that simple. It's just really that simple. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I'll make it quick as I can. COVID has been terrible in Asia, and the poorest of the poor have not had any help hardly whatsoever. And so our ministry has been helping poor people and really bringing food to them, bringing clothing to them, medical supplies, everything. It's just unbelievable what's happening. And in one area, and I can't name areas and stuff, but it's one area, one of our leaders, he and his team has done a lot. Man, they've been able to reach people for Jesus Christ. We've got into areas that, you know, they had heard about the gospel, but hadn't known much about the gospel. And so, then we go into that area and we start sharing food and stuff with them. Why are you guys here? Open some doors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And we've been able to lead people to Jesus Christ because of that. This has been unbelievable, guys. But one of the most unbelievable parts was there was this area that it's kind of isolated, and it's kind of a dangerous area to go to. You don't go to it unless you're invited there. If you're not invited, then you come, they may kill you. You may not make it out. And so they had heard about what our leader had done in this area. And they approached him and said, hey, we're out here and we need some help. There's a storm's come through and some of our houses are damaged. We don't have any food. We need some medical help. And he reached for a Christian organization to come out and help them. And our leader, he jumped at it. He jumped at this. He said, Richard, gosh, you won't believe what just happened. You know, he said, we've got a way to communicate so that we can talk privately without it being jeopardized in any way. And so he said, you just won't believe what happened. And so he started telling me, he said, man, this is awesome. So he went out there, and when he got out there, I mean, it was a mess. It was muddy. He had to walk through mud where the storm had come through. The house was a mess. So they welcomed him in, and he found out, guys, this was an unreached people group. No one has ever taken the gospel of Jesus Christ to this place. He was the first Christian walking onto this property. And he was there from their invitation. Oh, that made him even more excited. I'm in a place like this and I can share Jesus. So he started looking around and talking to people, found out their needs. They needed some supplies for their homes, some food, clothing, medical. And so he got ready to leave. He said, hey, I'll give me a couple weeks, a week or something. I'll get as fast as I can. I'll get supplies. And then we'll bring these supplies back to you. And then we'll help you out. And they said, okay, thank you very much. And it's just awesome. So our leader goes back to this big town. And he starts buying supplies. He buys parts and stuff. for the homes and things, and it starts getting closed. Get people to donate clothing and things like that. They buy food to take back. They get some medical supplies to help with medical needs. And then he bought 400 eggs. He bought 400 eggs. You go, wow, that's a lot of eggs. Sure, it's 400 eggs. And so he gets a team together to go to help with the medical needs, to put tarps over houses, and then just help people out. And then he took a couple cooks with him. And so they were going to do some cooking. So they get there, and they get on this area, and then the people were just so glad to see them, and then the teams just break out, and they go out, some fixing tarps, some put tarps over the roof, some are feeding people, and some are helping people medically. And then the cooks start cooking what we call egg curry. They took the 400 eggs and made egg curry. And then they started cooking, and then people in the village started hearing what was going on, and people would come and ask questions. And what our leader did not know is this area loved egg curry. And they hadn't had egg curry for a year because of COVID and because of all the problems. And so we were able to get some egg curry, rice, and all the extras, and then fed them. From that fast. You know the rest of the story, Paul Harvey would say. Most of the guys are Paul Harvey. We've been able to get into that area, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them through love and deeds, like what we were talking about. And now the gospel message is going out and people are going to say, you know, I can go on, but I've got to stop, you know, because of the time. So, you know, I want you to think about what God's called you to do. He's called me to do what I'm doing, but he's called you to do something also. So don't just kind of say, well, I'm okay at sitting at home and doing this and this. No, God needs you. You are called to reach people for Jesus Christ. He's given you that command, so follow him in that command. You know, if you go to John chapter 1, right around verse 6, and you start reading where John came first before Christ, you know, and that he was leading the pathway for Christ. He was to be a light, a person directing people towards Christ, if you were reading that. I didn't put the slide up, I thought about it later. So, but if you would read it sometime, think about that. You know, I don't want you to take it out of context. You know, you're not John, and Christ has already came. But I want you to think about you taking the light of Jesus Christ. It's dying and it needs you. If you don't do it, no way.
Richard, thank you for the message and for being here. It's always a joy and always an encouragement. And through your encouragement today, I have so much going on in my head that the best thing I can do is just kind of pray us out of here. Because if I start talking, then we're done for the day. So, dear God, thank you again for today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for Richard, his ministry, his heart for you, his heart for people, his heart for helping people connect and learn what it means to follow Jesus. Thank you for his passion and sharing it with us today. We pray for him, his ministry. We pray for Tanya. We pray for House of Blessings and all that goes on. And pray that through it all, that through the challenge of those that worship voodoo and those that worship the 3 million gods, that we, through our partnership, can help point people to Jesus and the supremacy of Jesus over and above all other options, that he is indeed the very Son of God sent to redeem sin and restore the path to right relationship with you, and help us to place our trust in that. Help us to continue to gather together, to encourage one another towards love and good deeds, and to encourage others to gather together with us, not just to gather together, but to be invited to follow Jesus. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for choosing to spend this part of your time with us. Hope that you'll be here next Sunday for this message, and have a great rest of today and a great week.